So my name is Luis Rosa. I was wounded in Iraq back in 2008. That is where I lost the legs, the arm, as you can see, but some injuries that you can't see. I'm actually completely deaf. I've lost all hearing in both ears, and I have two cochlear implants in. I can hear really well, and it is, if you want to know how it works, ask somebody else. I have no idea. So does anybody here know the difference between a fairy tale and an army story? A fairy tale begins once upon a time. An army story begins, no shit, there I was. So, no shit, there I was. Surrounded by morons, basically. It is my first day of basic training. We're learning how to walk. You're learning how to walk. You're literally learning how to walk, marching. And you'd be surprised how many people don't know how to walk. And so we're standing in formation, and all of a sudden things kind of get crazy. Drill sergeants kind of start whispering at each other, and they start moving around. The date was September 11th, 2001. My first day of basic training was the day that the planes hit. And my father was in the Army as well. He did his 20 years. He went to basic training in the 80s, and before I left for my basic training, he's like, you know, the drill sergeants tried to pretend like the Russians had invaded. Since you're cut off from the world, you have no idea, and did these things, told us this and that. And so when the drill sergeant said that our country had been attacked, I'm like, my dad told me about this. I know what you're doing. Holy crap, I was wrong. But from the very beginning, I knew exactly what I was going to do, but that's exactly what I wanted to do. Despite the way I look, I absolutely loved my job. I was infantry, and all I wanted to do was go out there and be, a hyperactive kid with too many toys. So I did that, and I went in, and on my first day, luckily it's what I signed up for, because you can see some people's faces. We were a country at peace. Everybody was joining the army to get the college money, right? So you got infantry pays the most college money because you need to get some of those people to join. But it didn't matter for me. It didn't matter at all. I loved my job. And so my first tour in Iraq, my first invasion was 2003. And that was for the invasion of Iraq. And my unit actually was on spearhead with 3rd Infantry Division. And I was a Bradley driver. Bradley is basically a small tank. And it was an interesting war. After like a month of fighting, of being on the front, I'm like, this is too easy, and it was. The entire war, we only took, my company took one casualty in 1 year, one serious casualty. It was a different world. They tried to fight us the way that we fight, and we just crushed them. And then that's when they changed to the insurgency. And that's where the entire world changed. When we got there in 03, my unit was also the ones that we took the airfield, Saddam International Airport. And after that, they moved us to the palace. That was nice. Then after that, we were doing patrols in the city, and the people loved us. So fast forward to 2008, you couldn't talk to anybody. There was nothing going on. If you left your post, the streets cleared. They were gone. Nobody wanted to talk to you, look at you, have anything to do with you. And so 2 months into my second tour in 2008, I was hit by a roadside bomb. I was standing on top of it. And my buddies say that it was the biggest blast that they had seen. It was meant for one of our vehicles, but they triggered it on me anyway. But as odd as it may sound, this is an occupational hazard for us. Wasn't anything new to me. I had friends that had lost limbs, and I volunteered to go on that second tour because my best friend was killed the year before, and I was a recruiter in Miami, actually. A very cush job, and I hated the crap out of it. So I wanted to get out, and I volunteered, and they thought, the recruiting command thought that they were pulling one over on me. It's like, we're going to send them to the unit that's deployed immediately. Ha ha ha. Let's see how he likes that. It's like, I love that. But 2 months after arriving in country is when I got hit. It's very quick. And this brings me to my story, because my story is about reinventing yourself. So I am an artist now, and I say that kind of loosely because I just graduated art school. I graduated from MICA this semester. Yay! General Fine Arts. Mostly portrait paint. I'm mostly a portrait painter. I'm doing some sculptures now, though. But going from infantry, I mean, my only job, my only care in the entire world was to go out there and run at the people that are shooting at you. And then you go, shoot them. Don't let them shoot you. And this is my job. It's just being a grunt. And we love that term, grunt, because what we do, we're just Neanderthals with bigger sticks. And I loved it. So when this happens to me, I can't exactly do the same thing anymore. I had to reinvent myself, but it didn't happen all at once, you know? I was recovering, I would say, for those first 10 years, and I was retired. They paid me decent enough to be retired. I was fortunate enough to be so unfortunate, is kind of how I put it. But I got bored. It wasn't me. I this isn't who I am, the sitting around and doing nothing type. And I realized, and one of the things that I was doing kind of on my own is I was helping people. I'd go speak at events. I'd go speak to underprivileged schools. I would speak to churches. I would speak to whoever asked me to. And I realized I can help people. It's like, you know how I can help people? I can go be an artist. An art therapist, excuse me. I started all of this because art therapy helped me out so immensely that I wanted to give that back to the soldiers that that might need it. And at the same time, I want to be able to tell them that, yes, you can. You know, when one of my therapists had asked me, my physical therapist asked me, he's like, well, who do you look up to? I was like, I don't really have anybody to look up to. There's nobody in my position that has done much of anything. This is pretty new. I was only about the third soldier to survive a triple amputation. That was like, three or four, something like that. Just immense. And I was the worst casualty they had seen when I first came in. Unfortunately, I wasn't the worst casualty ever. The very next year after I got hit was the first quadruple amputee that's to survive his injuries. He lives in Maryland too. Kind of stay close to Walter Reed. But I wanted to help. That's what I do. I just wanted to help. I always want to give back. And so I started my route to be an art therapist. I started over at CCBC, the community college. And I did my art classes. I'm like, oh, this is pretty fun. I did my psychology classes, and I absolutely loved them. And the art started to get better, and it got better, and it got better. And I got to a point where I'm like, maybe I can do something with this. And so I decided to just go head first into that. You know, just put all my energy, all my drive. It's not what I wanted to do when I got there, but I think the best message I can have is if you're stuck somewhere, if you know you want to do something else, just go, start doing. But don't ignore those little, I'm a big video gamer, those side quests. Yeah? Sometimes they'll lead you in really good ways. And that's what I did. It's like, well, this is working. Let me give it a try. You got to trust the process. Sometimes if you just keep going, you'll find yourself in somewhere new, somewhere amazing, somewhere you never thought you were going to be. And it was all because I'm more impulsive than intuitive. Guess <not. laughs> that might be it. But it's all about trusting the process, you know? Your brain knows what it's doing. We want to fight ourselves. We want to fight what we want. What we want can't obviously be what I need. Sometimes it is. Sometimes just doing and trusting yourself. Kids, you have to really trust. I have five kids. Not all from the same wife. Two from my first marriage. I have a son who doesn't live with me, and from celebrating that divorce a little too hard. And then I have two with my current wife. So I have a son that doesn't live with me and four daughters that do. And I have One boy, my dog Gus Gus, he's a 160-pound mastiff, and he demands more attention than my 2-year-old toddler does. But they all know that the one thing I'm going to be glad of, no matter what, these girls are going to know that there are no obstacles that they cannot overcome. Through sheer force of will, you can make your life better. It's hard. It hurts. Every single day that I wake up, freaking hurts. I'm 40 years old. Everything hurts anyway. And it just hurts even more when I have to, you know, compensate with the wheelchair or reaching, you know. Little things you take for granted. Like, the first time I noticed that life was going to be really different was when I took a shower for the first time on my own. And, you know, I'm washing, and then I go to wash my shoulder. And I'm like, holy crap, how am I going to wash this shoulder? And it took me a long time to figure it out. I just started taking the wash rag and slapping myself with it. It's like, oh, I got you. But it works out, man. You sometimes, if you're in a place that you just don't feel good, you know, you go for it. Take the chance. Don't blame me if it'll all work out. Okay. You have to try, you know. Success is an option, you know. But for me, not trying is not an option. I have to try. That's all I would say to everybody else.